Before we begin, I want to acknowledge how we approached this discussion. As a team, we had an important conversation about the best way to handle this topic with the respect and care it deserves. We ourselves have struggled with how to transition between this horrible day in history and discussing a figure skating competition, but we decided that celebrating the sport in the many ways that it shows up in our lives was important. We also know that everyone is processing their grief in their own way, so please feel free to skip ahead or skip the second part of this episode if that feels right for you. These are just a few words from all three of us to remember and honor those we lost.
Our hearts broke with yours last week. 67 lives were cut short, and 28 of them were part of the figure skating community. Skaters and parents and coaches headed home from National Development Camp. The stories of their final days are ones of joy, stories of grabbing an extra piece of cake at a send-off dinner, of FaceTiming dad to show off a new red jacket, of playing an online game with a friend from home, of landing a hard-earned triple axel. All moments made possible by the parents and coaches who accompanied them, who nurtured their dreams and gave them the courage and opportunity to pursue them. Their loved ones paint a picture of devoted moms, dads, and mentors whose guidance helped raise a group of children with open minds and open hearts, who spent their time in Wichita making new friends and learning new things and cheering each other on. To those who are waiting for them to arrive home, we can't know the depths of your grief, but we share in it with you. May we remember them as they were, hopeful, proud, surrounded by love, and eager to get home to you. To others grieving in the figure skating community, we hope you find love and support wherever you look for it. May their memories echo in our hearts when we hear the sound of blades on the ice or see a red jacket on a young skater. May we carry their joy with us when we watch the sport they loved. And to those who were lost, thank you for making our corner of the world a bit brighter. May the stars whisper to you how much you are loved and missed.
Now, before we begin today's episode, we also lost another iconic figure in the figure skating world, two-time Olympic champion Dick Button. And I know for me personally, growing up, Dick was the soundtrack to every single skating competition I ever watched. The skating world will never be the same. He is also the soundtrack of our podcast. And so we hope that Dick approves of being in our theme song. And we know that now he's our podcast guardian angel.
I'm not very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
You know, Dick Button always called me that girl from Boston before I competed in Boston or ever lived in Boston.
Really?
Yeah. He constantly just referred to me as that girl from Boston. Never lived there. Never had been to the city.
Well, on that note, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Run Through, your favorite figure skating podcast, where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us be from Boston before we've ever even moved. I am Adam Rippon.
I'm Ashley Wagner.
I'm Sarah Hughes.
We are here today to cover the European Championships. Good night, everyone.
You know, speaking of Europeans, I was talking to someone in the locker room the other day, and we were talking about how, was it Tallinn that literally hosted every single event for a month and a half? Like,
it was.
Four continents. Which is not a European competing event.
No, Tallinn was like an open house for anything that needed to go there at any time for a while.
And it feels good to be back.
It's great to be back in Estonia. And I'll tell you who it's great for. Nina Petrokina.
It absolutely is.
Your not European women's champion.
Oh, yes. Who saw that coming? I can name one person who didn't. Nina Petrokina. And everyone she works with did not see that one coming.
Yeah, what a twist. And my, how the turntables have turned, as they say.
Oh, they do say how the turntables have turned. But I will say, you know what? This is something that happens when somebody skates at a huge competition at home. There's just some sort of energy and electricity around that person, and you always buy into it. I buy into it every time. As soon as I find out that there's a big competition and there's a skater sort of from that area, I always think that the energy of the building will be on their side, and it's so monumental in these big events of what the audience is feeling.
Yeah, and I mean, she skated two clean programs. It's not like, oh, what an amazing time because she was at home. And also, I will say, this is, you guys know this, but this is such a, like, ringing endorsement of go get your world standings points so you can go close to the end, because she got to go so close to the end in the short program, and I think that made a huge difference too.
Absolutely.
I have to say this. Obviously, I was thinking in a wishful sort of mindset where I went, Lara Naki Gutman, European champion.
I was ready for it. I feel like we all were, with bated breath, chest on the ice, leg overhead.
But I am pleased with this top three. And I'll even say through the top six. The top six, I think, skated pretty well. Our reigning Italian national champion, Anna Pizzetta. Those jumps should be illegal.
They're in outer space.
SpaceX.
Well, not that. Not that.
Yeah, we're trying to keep Elon Musk out of at least some part of our lives. Yeah. So not that.
Please.
Well, if we can get him out of the U.S. Treasury, I'd rather get him in Italian figure skating.
Yeah, let's actually offer him Italian figure skating instead of the Doge committee and see if he's interested in that.
In the singles committee.
Hey, what do you think of ladies figure skating in Italy?
Do you feel like Lara Naki Gutman lost a little bit of her edge once she stopped ending programs on the ice?
I mean, no. I mean, the Squid Game program is amazing.
The short program is good.
Has a lot of edge.
I really like the short. Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah, I think there's a lot of edge when your theme of program is
death.
Yes.
For money.
There we go.
Which, funny enough, is also Gubanova's theme.
I mean, Gubanova's theme is a diamond choker and an expensive updo.
Diamond
no
choker
one is
and a
ever
going to
show up to a competition looking more expensive.
She
than
looks,
her,
yes,
I,
she
oh,
looks.
Would beg to differ.
I just,
what
I
do
wouldn't.
You mean?
I agree with you, Ashley. Especially in the short program, I'm like,
that
oh,
she's
she
expensive,
is making them all look poor.
I'm sorry, there are more expensive looking people out there.
Who
name
are
one.
They?
When you, name one.
Nina Pinzeroni. That's one.
I don't think that's
fair,
true.
Because she looks expensive without a single crystal. That's a cheap trick.
Yeah, it's not. Natural beauty's not the same, okay? This is paid for beauty.
This is paid for beauty.
this is for profit beauty, okay?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, fine.
You know what fine. I'll say about this women's event? And I feel the same way, actually, about pretty much all the disciplines at Europeans this week is... It feels refreshing that these disciplines are on an even enough playing field amongst the athletes that the person or team who skated the best won, like actually mm-hmm. won.
That's true.
And that's not so always true. The case. I mean, certainly when you had a four continents or even U.S. championships, you have people who are so far ahead, at least like, mm-hmm. you know, looking at the men's event and even in the women's event. Against someone like Amber Glenn with a triple axel. Like, you have people who can afford these big mistakes and can afford to not give the best performances and still win, which I respect. That's a way to win, but this was refreshing. It's different.
It's different competition. We're not used to it anymore.
Just even competition where a bad skate does not, like, it actually hurts you.
Yeah.
I think that this rang the most true in the men's event. And I think that a big reason of why, if you skated well, you placed well, I'm going to say it. I think it had to do with, I know this is Ashley's favorite technical caller, Shin Amano.
Her old pal, Shin.
Shin is a very tough caller.
Tough, hateful, spiteful, doesn't like the sport of figure skating or joy. Right.
Hateful, but honestly, to he's a great everyone. Person.
He's really nice.
Well, and he's fair. To Adam's point, he's fair. He will do it to everyone.
You don't think
so? I had every single jump called under rotated.
I remember that.
Cup of China.
To be fair, the queue wasn't an option then.
That would have been a game changer.
Was it a Japan Open?
No, it was like Cup of China, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Cup of China.
Yeah.
My double axels were called under.
That was a tough, that protocol was lit up like a Christmas tree.
I was the original Ilya Malinin.
You should have a hoodie made.
I'm going to, but it's...
There were no cues back then.
We're going to make run-through merch, and it's going to be Ashley's protocol from Cup of China 2017.
I have a Shin Amano story where I skated at Four Continents. This is the one that I won. And I skated this amazing program, and I get the sheet, and it was like, yeah, unfortunately, that last triple sow cow, which just looked like a sow cow, was completely downgraded. And I remember being like, what was the point of doing that? Why did you waste your time to review it? If you watch it, I wouldn't even review it. It didn't even seem something like you should even look at.
No, he's in it for the love of the game, for the love of the review. He'll review everything.
He loves to watch figure skating. He's going to watch it twice if he can.
Where do they say, don't hate the player, hate the game?
He hates the game.
He loves the game
and hates the players.
I would love to see him do a triple sow.
I would love to see you do a triple sow.
Bitch, you know I'm never doing that again. I hated sows so much. Wait, Adam, what was your least favorite?
Toe. Hated toe. Couldn't do a toe. Ironically, the only quadruple jump I ever landed in competition.
Wait, Sarah, if you could skate, what do you feel like you would dislike the most?
I think the Lutz makes me feel like I'm going to break an ankle watching it.
Yeah.
No, I can just look at Sarah and I already, like, I can see you and I'd see you going, oh, I hate sow. I could see
okay,
it. I don't know
why. Why are you saying that like hating sow is a snotty thing? Like, I hate sow. It's not snotty. Sow just sucks.
I also feel like I wouldn't like loops. They seem very unsupported.
Oh, I love.
I take it back. You'd be very Luna Hendrix. No loops.
Oh, they're the best. No. I love a good loop. Here's the thing, though. Loop, there's no middle ground. You either love them or you hate them. And if you hate them, it's just because you don't have good technique and don't know how to do that.
I think I would like flips the best. That's my assessment
of
me.
You look at Lutz and you're like, it's going to break my ankle, but flip won't? Because you feel like your inner ankle is sturdier than outer?
Absolutely.
That was true for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were interrogating me to make fun of me. And then you were like, yeah, exactly.
No, you're proving my point, Sarah.
Yeah.
You're a tool.
I think that you would like the flip in the Lutz because you're very organized and technical. Mm. And so you'd be somebody who's like, well, I need to push my glasses up. Really need to do that Lutz on the outside edge. I could just kind of feel that.
Oh, my
sense.
God. I want the listeners. I want the listeners to know that I haven't worn glasses in actually months, and I am on this call in glasses, and I'm getting made fun of for pushing my glasses up my nose. I don't even wear them.
I'll be honest. He made that joke. Didn't even register you were wearing glasses.
Me either. They were imaginary glasses in my mind. The glasses in my mind. The movie in my mind. Miss Saigon.
You would like flipping lights.
Yeah, maybe. Hate I loop. Mean, you're telling me that.
You're the Luna Hendrix fantasy.
Yeah.
And the Una Kim fantasy, no loops.
Mm. Ooh.
She didn't need them.
Just Olympic
no
medals.
No loops, yeah. Only Olympic no loops, medals though. And Dior sponsorships. That's actually kind of the American dream. So
that is the American dream. Now, so there's something that I want to point out in the men's event where Denis Vasiliev did the nicest quadruple yes. jump I think he's ever done in his entire career.
And he landed two quad sals, the first one far better than the second one, but he landed two of them.
But where have they been? Yes.
Exactly.
I think the way that he landed it, it just feels like he's had this mental block.
Mm, that's a good point.
Of not being able to put it out in competition. So this signals to me that I am very curious of how he'll skate at the World Championships, because I think this could have been like something that pushed him over the edge.
Do you think in a good way or a now I've done it so I have to do it every time kind of way?
No, in a good way. And I think to Sarah's earlier point that if he had more world points and found himself like in later warmups, that would really benefit him because his skating
is quite good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Every time I've covered him and commentated an event he was skating at, we're always talking about him in like a Jason Brown approach kind of way. And this event was really exciting because it kind of felt like mentally for him as well as the audience, he pushed out of that being just a beautiful skater who has reliable triples and was able to show up as more of a technically competitive athlete.
Yeah.
Which I feel like mm-hmm. We need someone who can skate like him, but also show up with some of the technical goods because the men's circuit has been so all over the place as far as technical content goes and performance ability.
It's a lot of guys who have one or the other. And
yeah,
mm-hmm. more people who have both would be great. Lukas Brychski, European champion.
Comeback kid.
Kind of has both.
He kind of has both. I think that there are a lot of men who have what they offer is pretty even. I think even more so than in any of the other disciplines. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, we are thinking of the extremes of like, you're known as the skater, you're known as the technician. But yeah, I agree. Lukas is somebody where I'm like, you're a bit of both. Or as they say on Love Island, it's a bit of me.
As they say on Love Island, it's early days.
I'm a slow burn. I'm a slow burner.
No, but I mean, okay. So as a recap, though, Lukas Brychski was eighth in the short program, had the skate of his life in the free skate.
Let's hope not of his life. Let's hope there's more to come.
Of his life so far. And right. It's right. A figure of speech. And,
TBD.
And then the next seven guys go. And they all fall behind him because they all make mistakes.
I love that, though.
Including Adam Siauhimfa, one of our favorites, who is back from injury.
Yeah.
Not doing backflips in his competitive program anymore. Still doing them at the exhibition.
And then, okay, I have to say something.
Please.
The backflips, the cartwheels, the difficult
the circus
exits.
Tricks out.
Got to go.
Knock it off.
Really got to go. It's just a complete farce.
I mean, Cirque du Soleil is available to you as an employment option if that is a calling for you.
I don't know. I think they went bankrupt. I think there's some trouble in paradise.
They're back. The original owner bought them back.
Oh, okay. Well, then there you go. It's still an option.
Still an option. Or you could go on cruise ships or be a show performer. It upsets me on competitive ice.
It's just reckless. It's so reckless. And like when Ilya at Nationals did that final backflip, it's not exciting. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like roller coaster rides. I'm not someone who seeks out fear for fun.
I also
so
gotta
don't
say,
force that on me.
I don't think it's that. I think it's very impressive, obviously, to be able to do that on the ice. But I don't think it's like cool or pretty. It's usually like a mess. And I mean, I'm coming from like, I cover gymnastics at my job and I know what a nice flip looks like. And this isn't it.
It's not that.
I also, listen, the Syria Bonalay of it all, and I'm going to say this. She wasn't a good sport, okay? She wouldn't get on the podium when she thought she should win, but...
I'm worried for you.
Time is a healer. Time is a healer. And when she did the backflip at the Olympics, she did it to say, fuck you.
Which I respect.
That's why she did it. And I respect it. Mm-hmm. And then she ended that program with her back to the judges and didn't bow to them.
I forgot about that.
She said that. So she did that backflip to say, fuck you. And then she went on to have this amazing professional career where I went and watched her, and she's one of my favorite skaters I've ever seen perform live. She's absolutely amazing. When I see the kids do the backflips now, I always think, this feels like a fuck you to Syria Bonalay now.
Mm.
And I'm just like, I don't like seeing them. So anybody who's doing them, fuck you. So now I'm saying fuck you.
It's just never additive. It's never additive to a competitive program.
It's no. And I think it's effective in a show program. I think it's fun then, but like it just feels sloppy. One, it's not skating. You're not showcasing your skill. And if you ask anybody that can do a backflip, they say it's the easiest thing that they can do. It's all about just creating a bit of momentum. Can I do one? No, because I didn't waste my fucking time on it.
Well, okay. You know how on the program components guide for judges to mark program components, there are rules about if there's a fall in the program, you can't give above a certain component mark because it is such a major interruption of the program. Sure. That is how a backflip feels to me. It feels like an interruption to a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And feels like it's building or adding or continuing the momentum, because a lot of the times it's at the end of a free skate, they're dead. It comes to a complete stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like hockey skating to get going again. It's not, it's jarring.
Yeah.
I'm going to also say this. The only time I feel like it's ever been effective is when people do it and it's not allowed. So the Syria Bonalay 1998 Olympic free skate, it works. The Adam Sjohimfa from Worlds last year, it's not allowed. It worked. He almost lost a world medal because he just threw it in, but it worked because it was just the music told him to do it. He didn't have an option. But when I see the skaters go into it now, I'm like, no, you have an option.
And you're making an option choice.
Junhwa Cha chose to do an Ina Bauer.
Yeah, and that.
Why don't you try that one?
Is the choice
out
that I want more people to make.
More Ina Bauers.
Yes.
More Ina Bauers, fewer backflips, please.
For the love of
God. Anyway, I hope Lucas keeps skating like this. He was awesome. And
yeah, that was so exciting.
Second place, Nikolai Mamola from Italy, who is, by the way, is rising up the ranks in the team event with all of these people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who are doing
That's
so well.
But really
he
good point.
Is
yeah.
8 feet tall.
Yeah.
Period.
Literally 6'5".
Yeah.
That's insane.
Because you can say 8 feet and you go, ha ha. But then when you say, no, but he
six
is
five
6 feet
taller
five.
6'5"
is 6'5" is 8 feet in skating inches.
Well, it's 8 feet in skate boots.
Math.
But yeah, I mean, the highest center of gravity imaginable on a skater.
The largest.
Yeah.
And highest. Yeah, it is crazy. I didn't realize there were two Selevkos.
Really?
I didn't that. I don't think I watched him at
Famously
European.
Famously two of them.
Because I don't think he made the free skate last year.
That's true. I think that's right.
Yes.
I think that's right. But yeah, there have been two of them for a while. And they've been...
I would say probably 20 years. One of them is the youngest, like 20. I'd say there's been about two of them for 20 years, Sarah.
Yeah, a couple decades of two of them.
Now, okay, I don't mean to be running around, but this is a huge day to be French. Not to be Adam Sjohimfa, but to be Yevgeny Lapravit and Jeffrey
Brousseau. Wow, I thought you were going to say Kevin Amos, and I was like,
No,
it's not.
Or him, or Kevin Amos. It was not a big day to be
the
Kevin
Frenchmen
Amos. Not in the top 20.
Really keep us on our toes. Adam getting third place here, Kevin getting 22nd.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22nd. Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. No Grammys for her and no medals for Kevin Amos this week. Okay. Sorry, Adam.
Moving on.
Let's talk about the dance. Let's talk about the ice dance.
Yeah, I want to talk about the ice dance for sure.
Okay. So I went into this event thinking it was possible that, speaking of coup d'etats, I thought it was possible that maybe mm-hmm. Lila Fear and Lewis Gibson would challenge for the title here.
Me too.
And granted, in their rhythm dance, Lila had an issue on their twizzles, but they ended up pretty far behind and ended up in third, giving way to, as Adam said, our favorite French team.
Being French.
Our favorite team. The best team in the world.
The greatest ice dance team of all time, who made their name as the greatest of all time at this very event last year.
It,
in the gala. Yeah, what did you guys think of the ice dance results? Guignard and Fabry won.
I really don't like that free dance, but you know what? It works for them. They have taken it and run with it, and it's like it's good enough for them to get their job done. So
Adam likes
it. Who cares what I think?
I like that it's different. And I like that they're doing something different. And as soon as they ditched the costumes, I was like, yeah, it helped me a lot. And it really changed my perspective on the program. Mm-hmm.
See, I think Yevgenia and Jeffrey are their free dance is like my ideal of what the Italians were going for. Like something that feels futuristic and different and a little offbeat.
Yeah.
But just not so robotic, if that's the word. Like, that kind of choreography that's, like,
they're doing
robot evoking doesn't do much for me.
It's not even robotic. It's the robot.
Well, they're doing, like,
it's the robot
versus they're doing, the Italian robot. 80s and robot have a lot of crossover.
No, it's iCarly. And they're the computer. No, it's, I mean, all of this pales in comparison to the Finns for me. This is still the best free dance of this season.
I feel like they're so underappreciated.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's very ice dance. I just feel like they're sitting waiting
like,
in
wait
line.
Wait for your time.
Yeah.
I just think they're so good.
They are so good. They're so good. I love watching them.
And they're fast. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're one of the fastest teams that we have on the circuit right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got fourth, right, Adam?
Mm-hmm. They did, but they got third in the free dance.
Right.
The French were fourth in the free dance.
Yeah, right, and barely hung on to second place.
Yes. Oh, literally by the pixie cut on Yevgenia, they were on the... the second step of the podium.
Yeah, and Lila barely. And Lewis, by the way, I mean, outside of Lila's issue on the twizzle, did not skate badly. I think they skated well. But it's, and they're some maybe the, probably the best performers in this group. But it's an interesting message being sent that they did not get
the
second
message
here,
to me,
or even challenge for first.
Was you make one little mistake, we will gut you like a fish.
Yeah.
And that was the message that I got. Mm-hmm. Because I think if they had just been totally solidly super, super perfect clean like usual, they would be second.
Yeah. That's right.
But they gave them an inch and they took a mile.
Yeah. I think that's true. I think that's 100% right.
Which also feels a little unfair because of all the teams, I feel like they always show up the most prepared, the squeaky clean programs. You know, I think all of us can agree that skating skills wise, they're really not quite at the level that I feel like the main competition is. But like, it felt like a really brutal way to send a message.
Well,
but you know what? it's almost like you won both your Grand Prix. Now we're really watching you.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
if you're going to be at this level, we're going to judge you like you're at this level.
Right. And it's very, you know, it's like what we were talking about like last week, I think. Even if you consider that it's not a skating skills competition, it's an ice dance competition, and there's a lot of components to it. If there's something that people know that you're weak at, and you do something, I mean, think about people who are known for under rotations and how much that hurts them over and over and over again in singles events. Yeah. Ashley, do you want to comment on that at all?
Me?
I know from earlier in this episode, it hurt Ashley
emotionally,
because she's still thinking about that cup of China. Shinamano, you're welcome on the podcast.
Anytime.
Any fucking anytime. Time, bitch. Which I do like Shinamano personally.
I know, personally. That's why I said it. I'm like, personally, he's actually really, really nice.
He's welcome here anytime.
Professionally, not nice. Unkind.
But that's what it is, right? It's, we know that you're not technically the strongest team out here. And so if we see a whisper of a technical error, we're going to hit you with it. And she kept her level 4, but their GOE was enough of a hit that they were behind in the rhythm dance.
They ran with it.
And then they didn't make it up in the free dance.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're completely right, Adam. Love the Finns. Love the Finns.
Love the Finns.
Period.
I also they're still fantastic. Just love Olivia and Tim's free dance too.
Wait. So in our last episode, we said that the Tashlers ran into Olivia Smart.
Oh, but it wasn't them,
on the
right?
Practice.
Was it not them?
No, who was?
Oh, I thought maybe that someone might have pointed out on Twitter. Now I don't remember. So.
Okay.
I was reading it from Twitter, and someone said that the Tashlers almost ran into Olivia, and Olivia shrieked.
Okay.
Because it's scary.
Yes. Well,
to
I have to
them.
Say that I made the joke last week.
Are you going to say
you
something
ran
about
into
Bonnie
Olivia
and Clyde?
Smart? No. I made the joke last week. You ran into Olivia Smart. What are you, Olivia Dumb? I have since I'd like to
apologize.
I'd like a redo.
You'd like to double down.
Because I have something better. Yes. You ran into Olivia Smart. That's Olivia Wilde.
Nice. That's funny. That was funny.
Thank you. Thank
wow.
you.
Wow. And you've just been like about Olivia Wilde, you might be getting served legal papers if you do it again.
It was eating me alive. That I couldn't go back
and make that
you
joke.
You ran into Olivia Smart? That's Olivia Wilde.
But yes, proud Olivia and Tim have a great free dance that I think we all really like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think we like that she wore her costume in a desert.
Yeah, we do.
I do love that she went on vacation to a desert, brought the costume, and walked around in said desert in her costume.
That's
Ashley, that is so us.
Oh,
like in
I have
the
done,
Instagram
well,
days.
It immediately, this is not the same at all, but the Lakewood Airport. We went outside the gates of the airport and had a photo shoot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was
abandoned
in a
parking
beret.
Lot.
I was in a knit beret, but a tank top.
I'm going to find these. I will post the pictures. Yeah.
I think Adam at one point took his shirt off entirely.
And laid on the ground. And I recently looked at that picture and I'm like, I look like a bag of bones.
Those were the days.
The good old days.
Can we talk about the women a little bit more? Because I feel like we sort of glazed over them.
Please. What would you like to say and who would you like to say
well,
it to?
I think this event feels lacking without Luna Hendricks. I will say that.
Yes.
I very much so, because I do think that this was a good competition to watch, but there was a huge void of this is your leading European woman. Because I don't think Nina or Gubanova are going to go into the world championships. And I don't think that this has changed the prospect of them being on the podium.
No. This did not add any...
Well, I think we
heighten the stakes at all.
Yeah, I think we know from the Grand Prix final being Japanese nationals and Amber Glenn that the world podium is likely to not include a European woman.
I know you want to talk about the women more, and this is, it's women adjacent.
Okay. Go ahead.
Adam, you pointed.
No, I have another woman point to make once you've made your adjacent woman point.
As I am known to watch the exhibition, I did.
Uh-huh. Well, somebody needed to watch the Europeans exhibition because it was a life-changing event last year.
Yeah.
Right, and it wasn't going to be me this year. No. So
well, less life-changing, but Nina's exhibition is to Cell Block Tango.
Nina Petrokina, you're talking about.
Yes. She starts off the ice. And it's spotlight on her off the ice. And she's just like board height. And she's doing arms. And that is it. No skating at all. And I watched her and I said, I wish I fucking did this. Because it's less work.
Smart.
She's just literally serving it up on the rubber platform, hanging out, just doing arms.
Does she do any chairography?
No, that's a missed opportunity.
That is a missed opportunity.
But then you realize you really shouldn't watch people like walk to the ice because it kind of ruins the vibe because it's like stomp, 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 and pop, six, squint. And at that point, you know, I didn't care what she did after that because I just thought it was brilliant to not have to skate as much.
When
but
she's
still perform.
Stomping to the ice, which, by the way, that is a funny description, she should take one step for every one of the murders.
You know that's what I would have done.
She should take one step on pop, one step on squish. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. That ends up being kind of a slow walk.
Yeah, exactly.
When you think about it.
Yeah.
Pop, six.
But she could do pop, three steps. Squish, three steps. That's six steps.
She could definitely do multiple steps on... Uh-oh.
Well...
Uh-oh.
She's falling. That's an uh-oh joke.
I also want to say I disagree with the arm movements that she had choreographed for.
Well, she got
that.
The Estonian version of the movie. So I'm sure
there
were some
that's
edits.
That's it. That's literally the woman adjacent comment I had to make. It's worth a watch and brilliant. Props to her.
I love anything related to Cell Block Tango. I will never forget one of the first times I hung out with the two of you many years ago.
Oh, no.
You broke into Cell Block Tango duetting it with each other out of the blue in a group of people.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That is crazy when you think about it.
That sounds nothing like me. Well.
Sounds
it doesn't. I'm going, that version of me is not...
Long
is not
it's
me.
Not long gone.
No, it's long
it's here.
Something else that's long here, and I want to say it loud, I want to say it proud. 17th place at the European Championships.
Yes.
But first place in my
Let's
heart.
Let's go. I want to talk about
Josephine Taliagos.
Yes.
Mm.
Maybe the best performance. When I watch her skate, I'm going, it's a damn shame.
I completely agree.
That we don't have ice capades. It's a damn shame that we don't have principal skaters in ice shows. Because this girl, if she were headlining a show, would get people out of the seats and she'd get them into group lessons. This girl would inspire you. To skate.
This girl is getting me out of my seat watching Peacock at home because she's a top three performer in the world.
Wow.
It's to the audience, like, there should be an outlet for her for people to see this type of skating because it's disorienting that somebody skates and performs like this and is in the top 17.
Yeah.
I understand why. Technically.
Yes.
But this is the kind of person that I should be seeing on TV because this is the kind of person that's going to get that young kid going, wait, I want to move like that. I want to skate to the music like this.
I was like leaping out of my seat during Celine Dion singing It's All Coming Back to Me Now with Josephine doing, I mean.
She's always had great choreography, mm-hmm. but more than the choreography, she knows how to perform the hell out of anything. Because I'll tell you one thing, she wouldn't be doing the same arms Nina Petrovna was doing during her exhibition.
Oh no, she'd be getting a call from the people on Broadway to come do a guest spot in Chicago.
No, she'd be in a jail in Chicago, zooming it over the Jumbotron. No,
she murdered her husband.
She's a method actress. She is in character the whole performance. She's so good. And yeah, Adam, it's a shame that there is no mechanism by which competitive figure skating can reward her enough for her to be higher up in the ranks than she is.
Because back in the day when Stars on Ice was truly touring 50 cities, Scott Hamilton himself would fly to Sweden and he himself would say, get on this private plane. You're skating right after Dan Hollander. And that's exactly what would happen. And she'd be on that tour, just like Lucinda Roux, where like, Lucinda Roux, the best spinner I've ever seen in my entire life. People needed to see that. She was an amazing show skater, an amazing performer. Josephine Taligard, it's a shame that not everybody is seeing how you do it right.
It completely, completely is. I couldn't agree more, period.
It is also a shame to get an under on your double axel, which she also did. But
it happens.
It's more of a shame.
It happens.
It does. It's hard to do all the way around. It does happen, but it is a greater shame that more people don't get to watch this kind of skating. I'm telling you, I loved watching the whole competition. She is somebody who I'm going, okay, I don't care what I'm doing. I'm going to watch this girl do
her Celine Dion free skate was my favorite program of the women's event. And it was the 17th best free skate of the day, according to the points. Maybe we shouldn't be counting points, as the late Dick Button once said.
I don't like the counting of points, is what he said. And I don't like it either.
I don't like it.
Oh, Nikolai Morozov did these programs with her. And I'm going to say this. When Nikolai puts his mind to it, he is a genius.
Among other things.
When he doesn't. He is many other things.
A man of many hats.
Florida native. Not native, but in
Florida. Yeah. Resident.
You know who really impressed me this weekend? Did you guys watch Julia Sauter's programs from Romania?
Yes.
Like, she impressed me.
Nice.
She's on the up and up. Like, I'm excited to watch her continue to get better. I was really impressed with her, especially in the short program.
We kind of glazed over it, but Gubanova really wasn't having an easy go of it during the Grand Prix. And so I was happy to see her really look competitive again.
What is your guys' assessment of Gubanova and, like, what is missing to make her a star? Because she is there and yet she's not there. And it's always just like, not quite, you know?
Okay. May I take the mic?
I think you have.
Now, this is what it is. She has all the technical makings of someone who should be right in the top. But style-wise and choreography wise, she needs drama. She needs a complete, utter makeover.
You know what she should be doing? Well, I was going to say, like, Gubanova has all the makings of, like, an Anna Pogorelia level drama. And it isn't happening.
Yes, she does. The thing is that, like, she, even when she tries to do something out of the box, she's like, watch this. And then she still does it at 30% energy. And that's the problem. Like, Josephine Tellegaard is going to give 100% energy in her choreography, and then she will do an under-rotated double axel. So it is a bit of, like, give and take.
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, for everybody. But I think you're right, Adam, that there is... there's something almost lackadaisical about the way Gubanova skates and approaches her elements and choreography that makes you feel, as a viewer, a little bit less invested in what she's doing, because she seems not all the way invested in what she's doing.
I think that she's smart because she knows that if she gives any more energy to the choreography, she might not be able to handle what she's trying technically. Because I see that she's trying to make the strides. You know, she is getting different programs. She's trying different choreographers. Like, she is making an effort. But you got to make the same effort in the competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's up to her old tricks. And when I say that, I mean she's not performing. So she's not doing anything except
she's
tricks.
Looking expensive.
That's not a trick. That's a job.
That's a little bit of a trick.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a way of life. Yeah, but I think it was, this was a really interesting women's event to watch.
It was even keeled.
Yeah. And there were multiple skaters who I feel like showed something that we haven't seen from them. And that made it really exciting.
I also just think
yes,
it's obviously not as competitive as a more international field. But for me, when I'm watching a competition, I don't necessarily care about that. I feel like we got, like we were saying earlier, we got to see an actual competition.
Yeah.
Where you had to really show up to get onto the podium. And if you made a mistake, that affected you. And so it was an interesting watch simply because it felt like we were watching a real competition.
Yeah. Every competition, you want somebody to have a moment of their life. You want the stakes to be high. And you want, if there's a mistake, you suffer the consequences. And if you're perfect, you are valiant. Like, we want that in any event. It's not exciting when somebody wins by 55 points.
Right.
It's not exciting or thrilling when you already know the results before they happen.
Yeah.
And I think in every discipline, you didn't know exactly what was going to happen.
I feel like that's something that if the ISU genuinely wants to make figure skating more exciting, they have to level the playing field a bit. I understand that what Ilya does is insane and no one else can do what he specifically does. But watching an event where it just doesn't really matter what he's going to do because he's going to win simply by his tech score, that's not exciting for me.
I agree.
There's
that
no mystery.
I agree that it's not exciting overall for the competition, but I do think that Ilya is a once in a generation technical talent.
Yes.
And if and when, not if, whenever he decides to stop skating, I think the playing field might be pretty level with the other men. And
yeah,
I do still think
point.
There's an exciting competition that's going to happen at World Championships. And I don't think Ilya is completely immune from having trouble under pressure either. So,
yeah.
But I think this is a thing that no sports federation can really protect against. It's like, you know, he's not Simone Biles, but like there was nothing that the gymnastics code could really do to stop her from being as dominant as she was.
Yeah.
She was a once in a generation talent.
And they tried to stop her because do you remember that one tweet where they went, oh, bro goated too hard that they banned her. That was a tweet. Do you remember that one, Sarah?
That she goated too hard
bro
that they banned
too
her?
Hard. Yeah.
I don't remember that tweet, but there's so much misinformation that happens so quickly about, oh, they tried to, just like, remember the guy who tweeted about Ilya that his scores were lower for being too straight?
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's, Ashley, to your point, I agree with you that it can be hard to watch a competition where he can fall twice and he's going to win anyway. But yeah. I think it's just impossible for a Federation to protect against that kind of unusual talent. Mm-hmm. And I do think that beneath him in the score sheet, it is an exciting competition. Like, I don't know who's going to get second or third at Worlds.
Yeah, I think this Europeans was just really refreshing because it felt like it was a wide open field for the podium.
I agree.
Not, let's see how second and third shakes out.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just don't know what there is that could be done. Pairs, by the way, was also like this. Kind of wide open.
It was also very good. Actually, I have a point about the pairs that I saw people talking about, and it's the Metelkina Brulova, the Georgian team. They have gotten third at the European Championships.
I saw this
but they're
point.
Also going to Junior Worlds.
Where they have, that to me feels a little insane that if you have medaled at a senior event, I think you should automatically be ineligible for junior events. That just doesn't feel fair.
I think that if you're age eligible, you're still of junior age. And if you think that you want to be going to Junior Worlds, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Why not?
I mean, I certainly don't think
it feels unfair.
That,
I agree.
I certainly don't think that they are doing anything wrong because they're operating within the rules. Like, they're not breaking any rules. And that's basically the quote that they gave about it. They were like, we want to go. We want the experience. We're eligible. So we're going. Mm-hmm. I think it's a different question entirely whether it should be allowed. But I certainly don't think they are doing anything wrong. They're allowed.
They're not doing anything wrong. They're allowed.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, and does I it think... mess with the integrity of the junior events when you have essentially a senior team competing? Kind of.
I think it's an odd thing to do if you're so competitive in senior to then go back to junior. That seems like a weird game plan. I know it's for world points, basically.
Yeah, world points. They can,
but it's also
money. But I think it's a fair question to ask. Like, should they be able to go take prize money from what in theory should belong to the junior world champions, whoever that should be?
Right.
It's definitely.
But also, a title is never in the bag.
Yeah, it's a gray area, though.
It is.
It is. Wait, Adam, I was speaking of Metelkina Berlava, who got third. They got third by like 0.4 of a point over our girl Maria Pavlova and Alexei Sviatchenko, who looked so upset in the kiss and cry. I was really sad for them because they just barely were off the podium.
It's going to happen for her one day.
And only for her. She's a one woman band.
It's going to happen for her. Well, she's, to me, is the team leader. And I'm just like that. It's going to happen for her. Maria, keep your head up high. Keep landing those jumps.
The pairs event was a little, like, especially in the free skate, felt a little mediocre. Like, just a lot of mistakes throughout, especially towards the end. But the last two teams both skated really well. And I thought that was exciting. So Minerva Haza and Nikita Volodin won, by the way. And Sarah Conti and Nicola Bacci got second. Yet another medal for Italy at this event. But yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about this before. Good pairs is as good as it gets when it's done really well. I wouldn't even say bad pairs is the worst. I would say even medium pairs is really tough to watch. That as soon as one of the small things falls apart, the whole thing feels. So to watch the last two teams skate really well was really exciting and a fun way to end the competition. But the rest of it was a little,
If only we could have Josephine Taliagard skate in every discipline.
I mean, that would liven things up for sure. It would.
Haza and Volodin get off the ice and we go in one last skate by Sweden's own.
Yeah.
ABBA goes out instead.
So a good European Championships during a very hard week in the sport. So I do want to say that I had trouble at times watching the skating, just feeling connected to it a little bit. And I'm sure you guys felt like that and other people felt like that. Mm-hmm. But I really was, you know, I'm sure that the skaters who had to compete really felt it too. And I really respected them all going out and competing the way that they did. So, yeah. And now we look forward to four continents in a few weeks.
Where Josephine Tallygaard won't be skating.
Well, not if we have anything to do with it. We're going to get her in.
But we'll be working on that behind the scenes, and we will let you know kind of what we come up with. Josephine, don't get those skates out of the suitcase just quite yet. And on that note,
we bid you adieu from Tallinn.
We bid you adieu from Tallinn. This is The Run Through, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.